This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The beautiful Irish saint, Brigid.
Now, what do you make of that? Oh, it's myself who's had a vision. Now, it's obvious at last that the Lord must think very highly of me for the good Christian life I lead and for loving me fair man and all. And I'll beat the living daylights out of any man who denies it, I will. Oh, I should make a note of this historic date in the year 474, when the Lord permitted a good Irishman to see his holy angels in a vision. And that's not all either, because I saw more than angels in my vision.
Brigid? Brigid, me own sweet darling daughter. Is it yourself sitting here in the darkness of your room?
It's myself, Father.
Well, what would you be doing sitting in the dark?
Meditating.
Well, would you kindly light a candle so that I don't break one of my legs falling over a stool?
Father, I wanted to be alone for a little while. I did.
Ah, then it's in love you are. Oh, but sure, there's not a man in all of Ireland worth of your great beauty, me darling.
Oh, the way you talk.
Now, Brigid, would you kindly light a candle?
Just like a child you are.
A child?
Bragging about your daughter's so-called beauty. It's sinful, it is.
Sinful, is it? Now, pray tell me, who takes the credit for your great beauty?
The Lord.
The Lord, indeed. And so I see no sin when it comes to bragging about the Lord's good work.
Oh, you get around things, you do.
Yes, but you'd better light another candle, my darling daughter, because I've some wonderful news to convey to you.
Oh?
I've had a vision.
I don't doubt it. After last night.
After last night, she says. Now, it was just Father Mel and myself enjoying a mug of ale. It was in holy company I was. Father Mel being the nephew of the saintly Bishop Patrick and all and myself, who knew the saint when he was with us.
You were talking more about your sins than about Bishop Patrick.
Only the sins I forgot to mention last time I went to confession. And I promised Father Mel I'd remember all of them the next time.
And I'll be first in line to remind you.
The way you talk. Now, if it wasn't for being the fine, upstanding Christian gentleman that I am, the Lord wouldn't have sent me a vision with all them beautiful angels in it.
Angels?
Oh, angels. I'd been down to the village having a little chat with Murphy, the horse trainer, thief that he is. And on me way back home, I rested me weary bones on the hillside overlooking the lake. And suddenly, all around me, there was a glorious and a radiant light. And that was when I saw them, the angels. Angels in all their shining white raiments. Oh, it was a wondrous sight, it was, Bridget.
Father.
And what else do you think I saw? I saw you, my own beautiful daughter. Oh, you were there with them, and one of them was pouring the holy oil on your head, anointing you. And you were kneeling there and praying and looking like the most beautiful saint that was ever born. Ah, oh, sure, I see you don't believe your dear old father.
Is it really true, Father?
It's as true as I'm standing on my own 2 feet right here.
How strange. Oh, what a strange thing.
If you ask me, it was a sign.
It must have been.
Indeed it was, a sign of your own future sanctity. Oh, what a reward for me own righteous life it is. Oh, to think that me own darling daughter's going to become a saint, just like me old friend Bishop Patrick.
Father, I'm not cut out to become a saint, and what's more, Bishop Patrick was not your friend.
Yeah, but he was the friend of all mankind, so what's so wrong about considering myself his friend? Oh, wait till Father Mel hears about me vision. Now, do you suppose he'll believe it?
If it's true, he'll know it is.
Ah, sure, that's good, and I have nothing to worry about because it is true. Oh, Bridget, my darling, the Lord must think a lot of me fine, noble character, and maybe that's why he gave me such a beautiful daughter as yourself. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is, to be sure, to be a fine Christian like myself.
Father Mel, it must be true.
I have no doubt of it, my child.
My father saw a vision then.
Well, he's not the first one in history to have seen one.
Oh, I do not deny it, Father Mel, nor do I doubt it had some special meaning.
For yourself, since you were part of it.
It's truly a beautiful thing to realize.
It is indeed.
What do you suppose the meaning of it was?
I think you know.
I've been thinking for a long time that sooner or later I must take the veil and devote myself to serving the Holy Mother.
Yes, I know you've given it a lot of thought.
I'm old enough to know my own mind.
I think you do, my child.
And it wouldn't be renouncing the world, not for me, Father, because I'd want to remain in the world and be among people and be helping them.
And I have a feeling you could help a lot of people, Bridget. You have a way with you, and you've strength and character. But now there's another thing, too.
Now, what would that be?
You've a great many admirers.
Oh, them.
Have you given any thought to abandoning all ideas of marriage?
Oh, yes, indeed, I have. And then perhaps they'll let me alone. The way they're always chasing after me, you'd think they'd never seen a girl before.
Well, you happen to be a very beautiful girl, Bridget. It'd be very unnatural if young men didn't chase after you.
It's a problem I have. But it's one I can settle, I think. The trouble is, Father, sometimes I have to admit I'm sorely tempted.
No, you wouldn't be human if you didn't experience some form of temptation.
There are one or two of these young fellows who, well, they disturb me. And I'll soon not be disturbed in that fashion.
Yes, I can understand that, my child.
Well, the sooner I take the veil, the better I'll like it, Father. So if you'll be so kind as to start making arrangements for me, I'd be more than grateful.
If your mind is made up, my child.
Oh, it's made up, Father.
God bless you.
And now, if you'll excuse me, Father, I'd like to be able to spend a few minutes alone with the Holy Mother at the shrine. It's something to talk over with her I've got, and I think she's the only one who can help me.
I'm sure she'll help you. I'm sure you and the Virgin get along very well together.
Oh, yes, Father, I'm sure she hears everything I have to tell her and listens with a lot of patience. We get along very nicely. Holy Virgin, it's me despair, this beauty of mine. Mind you now, I take no credit for it because it's what the Lord gave me, but in my own case, it puts me in the way of temptation, and it puts thoughts in my head that shouldn't be there. Now, I have a special favor to ask of you. If it's not asking too much, if you could arrange matters so that I'd become unwholesome to look at. Ugly's the word. Make me ugly. Now, would you do that for me, Holy Mother? Make me so that I'll not be attracting the attention of male creatures. Because now I've made up my mind to serve you, Holy Mother, and I don't want to be bothered with young fellas chasing after me while I'm preparing myself for the veil. Hail Mary, full of grace. Hail Mary.
Ask the Holy Mother to make you ugly?
Well, Father, look at it this way. It'd be a great help to me if I was less attractive to look at, especially while I'm preparing myself for a holy life.
Oh, it's not true.
Oh, but it is.
Oh, it's not true. I will not believe such a thing.
And so you'll not be bragging anymore about your daughter's beauty.
Oh, now, Bridget, tell me you're playing a joke on your poor old Christian father. Tell me you didn't do this thing.
If I told you that, it wouldn't be true.
Oh, but she wouldn't take any notice of such an unreasonable request, not the Holy Mother.
Oh, I suppose she'll have to weigh the pros and cons of the matter before deciding one way or the other.
Oh, what a terrible thing to ask of her. Bridget, me darling, run back to the shrine and tell her you're sorry and that you made a grievous mistake.
Father, I'll do no such thing.
Yes, but... Oh, wait a minute now. Wait just... a minute, my fine young lady. What about my vision?
Your vision?
Aye, my vision. Oh, it's nothing we have to worry about, you see. I can tell you now, my fine daughter, that the Holy Mother's going to turn you down. Because in my wondrous vision, you were even more beautiful than you are now. Now, what do you think of that?
Oh, no.
So if I were you, I'd forget all about becoming ugly.
Well, we'll have to wait and see what the Holy Mother decides.
And while we're at it, there's another thing I'd like to mention.
And what's that, Father?
Well, this idea of becoming a nun.
Well, you've always known I want to be one.
Well, sure, but it's myself, your own father, who's been sort of looking forward to bouncing me own grandchildren on me old knees and seeing you married to some fine young prince. Or king.
But I thought you liked the idea of your daughter becoming saintly. Like Bishop Patrick, you see.
Now, when do you have to be a nun to become saintly?
Father, in me own case. Yes.
So that's the way it is with you, is it?
I'm afraid so, Father.
And when do you start preparing yourself to become a nun?
Day after tomorrow, Father.
How long will it take?
Well, I suppose it depends on what progress I make. I think I'll go to bed now. Good night, Father. And keep the faith.
Yeah, well, it's about all a Christian can keep, it would seem to me, if he can't keep his own daughter with him.
My child.
Do you see the sign already, Father Mayor?
But your face.
A sign may talk with the Holy Mother's having results.
Oh, but you had a sleepless night, and that's the reason your eyes are swollen and your face is puffy.
I never slept so soundly in my life.
Well, then, oh, no, it can't be.
You can see for yourself, Father Mel. It's as ugly as sin unbecoming, and all my beauty's vanishing. I thought I'd let you see for yourself.
Oh, what a thing to see.
So, can we now proceed with my spiritual instruction, Father Mel?
I think we'd better, if I can put my mind to it.
Oh, it's a nightmare I'm having.
Now, Father,
oh, it's
Father,
not true.
You can see it is true. And that the Holy Mother's decided in me favor.
Oh, sure, she wouldn't do a thing like this to you.
She's thought it over and she's decided that it's best for me to be ugly.
Oh, dear, this is too much for me to bear. I'm going to see Father Mayne about it and convince him to have a chat with the Holy Mother and see if she won't change her mind about you.
Now, Michael, the fact is, and it must be obvious to us both, that your daughter, as well as yourself, is the recipient of some sort of miracle.
A miracle, is it?
What else would you call it?
Well, I suppose it is, but it's not the kind of miracle you'd expect now, is
well,
it?
Now, if you give the matter reasonable thought, you'll begin to see the wisdom of it. Your daughter, for all her strength of character and her devotion...
Oh, she is devoted, all
right. Well, for all that, she has human weakness, and she is well aware of it. And her beauty was no great help to her.
Well, there is a strange thing for you, Father.
If her beauty had been taken for granted, she'd have been all right.
Oh, you think so, Father?
But what with you and everybody else, including myself, telling her how lovely she is, we've all made her too self-conscious. And instead of rejoicing in the Lord for the beauty he gave her, she's become afraid of it.
Afraid? Oh, so you think it's that way, do you?
She wants to concentrate on her devotion to the Holy Mother and not be plagued by the attentions of young men while she's preparing to take the veil. In brief, she's sacrificed her beauty.
Sacrifice? Oh, so that's it, is it, Hart? Oh, what a noble thing to do, Father. Well, you see, it's the way she was brought up, myself being what I am.
A fine example of a good Christian.
And me daughter being influenced by me. Now, wouldn't you say that has a lot to do with it?
It must have, Michael.
And the news of the strange miracle spread all through Ulster and most of Ireland. And those who had known my daughter Bridget were shocked by the change that came over her. But when the great and glorious day came for my darling daughter to receive the veil, the church was overflowing. And there she was, kneeling before the bishop. And that was when a wondrous thing happened. Oh, I don't believe it. Holy Mother, in whose presence we stand, what's happening to me eyesight? Oh, Lord, is it myself who's going daft and losing my good sense? Or has the Holy Mother given me daughter back all of her beauty? It's true what we saw, Father Mel.
Father? We saw it happen, my son.
Oh, she was made beautiful again as she took the veil. It was another miracle. The Holy Mother restored my daughter's beauty at the very moment that she took the veil.
It was a very impressive thing we saw happen. And it's had some results already. At least 40 or 50 girls and young women in these parts are now clamoring to become nuns.
Oh, it's a great day for a virtuous Christian, Father. I suppose I'd have to be calling me daughter Mother Bridget.
Well, now, it's a little too soon for that, but you will be calling her Mother Bridget pretty soon, I imagine.
And it's myself for Father who'll be going down in history, I suppose, eh?
If you warrant a place in history, Michael, I'm sure history won't neglect you.
And so in the months following me daughter Bridget's taking of the veil, I said me goodbye to her and she went off on a special mission for the church, traveling all through Ireland, establishing, as she did, religious communities wherever she went. Till one day, in the province of Leinster, she was visited by a deputation. Now, at the time, she was spending a few days on a farm, bringing consolation to the farmer and his wife. And it was milking a cow she was, when the head of the deputation, Father Marlin, approached her.
Mother Bridget, I believe.
I believe so too, whoever you are. Oh, forgive me, Father. I didn't expect to see a priest standing behind me. This poor beast needs attention. If she doesn't get it, she'll become sick. It's a shame it is the way some people neglect animals, forgetting that each animal is one of God's own creatures.
It is a shame indeed.
Well, Father, if you'll excuse me back, I'll be listening to what you have to say.
I'll be direct, Mother. We want you to serve this area.
And how can I do that?
By remaining here. By taking up permanent residence. You see, this province has a special need for you, Mother.
It has it?
You've become famous, Mother, all through Ireland. The miracles that attended you, and the amazing success you've had in establishing religious communities. If you remained here, it would call attention to us, attract visitors to our shrines. You would bring prestige to Leinster province.
Well, of all the... Father, you must forgive me, but I cannot lend myself to such a scheme. I'll be no medium for publicity.
Oh, Mother, will you reconsider?
If Miss Superior so order me to remain in your province, I'll obediently comply, Father. But if it's left to me own decision, I'll be moving on as soon as me work here is finished.
Mother, they say you have a way with you of communicating with the Virgin. Let me beg you to take this matter up with her.
Now, do you suppose the Holy Mother of Heaven would want me to be a party to such a thing as you propose?
Well, I can't speak for the Holy Mother, of course.
Oh, you put me in a fine pickle, you do.
And you'll take it up with her?
It seems to me I have no choice, Father. Holy Mother, it's a problem I have, and I'd be so grateful if you'd settle it for me. They want me to stay here like some sort of advertisement for tourists and the like. Mind you, the priests and the people who put this up to me, well, they're nice enough, but it seems to me I've no proper business lending myself to such a thing. But that's my own opinion, Holy Mother. And maybe I'm wrong. And so if you'd be so kind as to let me know what I should do, I'd be more than grateful. Holy Mary, full of grace. Father! My own father, what in the world are you doing here?
Oh, 2 days and the best part of 3 nights I've been riding my faithful horse. And it seems to me I must have ridden halfway across Ireland to get to you.
But what's the matter?
Well, it's words I have to put to you. They came to me in a... Well, I was going to say I had another vision, but it was more of a dream this time. And all I could see were the words that I had to learn.
In the name of all the saints, Father, what are you talking about?
Well, if you'll ask me inside yonder farmhouse and offer me a mug of something to quench my thirst...
And before I do that, I'll see that your horse's thirst is quenched.
The horse? Oh, aye, for the good and noble beast that he is.
Now that the poor farmer here has spared you from his stock of ale, will you kindly be telling me about these words you dreamed?
Well, me own darling daughter...
Reverend Mother, if you'll be so kind.
To be sure. Well, now, these are the words that I dreamed.
I'm listening.
The disciples went out into strange and foreign lands, spreading the word of God, propagating the faith.
Say it again.
The disciples went out into strange and foreign lands, spreading the word of God, propagating the faith.
Advertising the word of God, so that all men should know about our Lord, so that all men should come to know his love for them.
That's what the rest of the words were. And it's what I knew I had to tell you.
What made you come to me?
Oh, it was like a message that was given to me to take to you, Reverend Mother.
Wait here for me. I must go to Father Maldon at once and tell him I will remain in this province.
And so she did. She stayed in the province of Leinster. And should you ever be going there, you can still see the famous monastery that she founded at Kildare.
To the glory of God. And for the propagating of the faith. Oh, it's a wonderful thing it is to have been the father of an Irish saint. But it could happen to any Irishman, I suppose.